Well, I got a wonderful revelation here I want to share with you from Kelly Molden. And it's a powerful dream about what's going wrong with the church, really. It's a powerful dream about denominationalism and just an awesome lesson. I love it, really. It's just awesome. Well, let me share it with you. I probably won't give a lot of interpretation here because Matt Weller sent his interpretation with it. And I didn't get to read all of it because that's just the way my life goes nowadays. So I may just share a couple of things. But Matt's got a pretty long interpretation here, so I'm going to let him share something with you here. Well, Kelly's dream was on March the 22nd of this year. And she said, we were at a school, where the classes were decided by the color construction paper that you had. That's interesting, huh? You know, color is a portion of the light. Now, wait till she tells you a little bit more here. But, I learned this when I came out of the last denomination I was in many years ago, when the Lord told me that he wanted me to visit but not get caught in any of the denominations. And so I did. I began to, go from one to another and just notice, find out what they believe, so on and so forth. And I was studying the Bible diligently, and I discovered that almost all of them had pieces of the truth. And in other words, pieces of the light, right? You know what a piece of the light is? It's a color, isn't it? The light is all color, but a piece of the light is a color, right? And I learned that they all have pieces of the truth, but in most cases they reject one another's piece, you know. And that's that sectarian spirit there, that denominational spirit there. So the classes were decided by the color construction paper that you had. The colors were red and blue and yellow and white. Most students were in the red, blue, and yellow groups. I believe I started in the red group, but I'm not sure. Only three students started in the white class, and it was located in a hallway on the other side of the school from the rest. So it was on the other side of the school from all the rest, right? All the colors. Well, you know what white is, right? It's all colors put together, right? It's not deciding what part of Jesus we want. We want him all, right? And humbling yourself to him, right? So that's what whiteness is. And, of course, we know the bride has a brilliant garment on, right? A lampros, where we get our word lamp from. She has a lampros garment on. And those invited to the marriage have a leukos garment, which just means white, right? So, folks, they're all going to be white. Some aren't going to be as white as others, but they're all going to be white. So only three students started in the white class, and it was located in a hallway on the other side of the school from the rest. In the classes, we were instructed on how to bring others into our class, because our class was number one. You never heard of a second Baptist church, have you? Or a second Pentecostal church, have you? It's always the first, right? We're the first. Well, you know, it's a competitive thing, isn't it? You know? Well, our class was number one. Of course, we needed to bring others in there, right? Except the white room, their teacher instructed them to listen to the others and to share their paper with the other students, but not to argue. Share their paper. So listen to them and share their paper, but don't argue with them, right? That's the people that were in the white class. After school, we wandered the halls and talked people into joining our class. In other words, hey, never mind evangelizing the world. We're going to go get the Christians. We're going to drag them all over here in this religion, right? If they decided to join our class, we would touch our construction paper to theirs, and it would change to our color. Isn't that a neat thing, the way when people jump from denomination to denomination, they start believing exactly what they hear there? Because, of course, they're hearing it over and over and over and over and over and over. And they all believe the same thing, right? Remember one time the Lord told me that if you ever go to a church and they all believe the same thing, it's a sick church. I used to think, I don't know. Yeah, that sounds funny, Lord, you know. But then I realized that really, if we're seeking the Lord for ourselves, we just see different parts of the puzzle at the particular moment that we're living. And we haven't necessarily seen everything that everybody else sees, but we've seen our particular part of the puzzle. And we know what we believe because we've looked for ourselves. But now, if they're all just listening to the preacher and swallowing whole like a hog, then they're all going to believe exactly the same thing no matter what. And that's kind of the way it is in denominationalism. But if you're seeking the Lord for yourself, you might even be at odds in some things with your brother because you've seen part of the puzzle and he's seen part of the puzzle. But, of course, you need to be at peace, but you don't have to agree. So people that are compelled to make you agree with them, that's sick, okay? It's up to the Lord to be our Savior. He's the revelator, isn't he? Yeah. So it would change to our color. Sometimes we would decide that we wanted to be in a different class, and the colors would mix, making the secondary colors of green and purple and orange, etc. That's interesting. So people of different colors coming together to mix their colors, right? Sounds like a cross breeding of denominationalism, right? Some of the reasons given for a class being better was hair and ponytails? Everyone wearing the same color? Names containing certain letters or amount of letters? Wow, think about that. That's kind of goofy reasons for being one with somebody, isn't it? Certainly. And especially that letter part. You know, that sounds like, you know, dividing according to the letter, doesn't it? And of course, a lot of the religions are divided according to the letter, are they not? I tried most of the colors. About 10 or 12 of construction paper, because I never stayed satisfied with their reasons for being the best. Yeah, some of the reasons that they have for being the best are pretty far out, right? Ponytails, about as far out as these ponytails and letters and so on and so forth. The whole group was different because they did not touch our construction paper. The white group was different because they did not touch our construction paper, but tore a piece of their own off and gave it to us. Then they threw the old construction paper away. You then, the person, of course, that got their white paper, would throw their old construction paper away. So that was interesting. You know, the people with the white would give them a piece of what they had, and they would get rid of the old that they had. Every morning, we were served breakfast in our classrooms, in all the rooms. We had donuts and soda, except in the white room. In the white room, you ate fruit, meat trays, and water. Well, that sounds real spiritual, doesn't it? Not all that junky food, right? And when the people in the white room returned to their class, then their construction paper would be made whole again. That's interesting. They go out, they share their construction paper, their white paper, and they'd return back and it would be made whole again. So that they could go out and give more away. The teacher had a white piece of paper also. And that's where the original three students got their paper, was from being torn off of the teacher's. So he was the teacher, whoever the teacher was here, could be Jesus, right, was giving of himself, of his own righteous ways, thoughts, so on and so forth, to them. And they were passing that out too. The white room grew to be a popular room for a while, and then many started changing their colors to the other construction paper again. Uh-oh. Isn't that something? Sounds like the great falling away, doesn't it? Except I'm going to tell you the truth, folks. I've been seeing this happen for years. That people will find truth and be so excited about it. And somewhere down the road, they fall out and like they've never learned anything, go right back into Babylon. Have you ever seen it happen? I have. I've seen it happen over and over. And I even know what causes it. I asked the Lord, besought Him about that. And the Lord just showed me that there was some truth they wouldn't walk in, and He wouldn't give them any more grace to walk because they refused to walk in that truth. It's, you know, you don't gain knowledge just for your intellect, you know. The more knowledge of truth that you gain, the more you're held accountable. God's a merciful God. He doesn't want you to continue to walk in truth that you don't walk in, which would condemn you more and more. He's merciful enough to say, well, going back to Babylon, you're not worthy to sit here. You're not continuing to bear fruit. Time for you to go back over there. Let somebody else have a chance. Right? The Bible says, let no man take thy crown. Right? Well, this is a real interesting dream. Let's see what Matt has to say. Matt Weller. This dream is a portrayal of the different denominations of the church system. Amen to that. All of us are in school, learning what it means to follow the Lord. The denominations are represented by the different colors, white being the true church of God. Yes, that's true. In other words, church means the called out ones. We're called to be separate from the world. And much of the church doesn't want that. They want to try to fit in. We want to be peculiar people, don't we? Matt goes on to say, each denomination thinks it has the truth and is the elect, or number one, in God's eyes. Yes. Yet they're all taught that, you see. They're taught that by their teachers, that you're number one, you're the best. You believe this, or you do this, or whatever, or you observe this, and so you're the best. All the rest of them out there, nah, they're missing it. And then you go to the next denomination when you move, go to the next town or whatever, and you find out, now you're the best. What's wrong with this picture? You know? Matt goes on, the reasons usually follow some legalistic or doctrinal pattern. In the dream, some had their hair in ponytails, and some had everyone wearing the same color, etc. Well, you have to conform in the denominations, or they pretty well throw you out. You know, you have to conform, or they look down on you, you know. And even the non-denominational denominations, right? The reasons for them being split up into such divisions are frankly ridiculous. That's right. Have you ever thought about some of them? They are really dumb. There are really dumb reasons to divide, especially when the Lord forbid us to do that, you know, over doctrine. What the Lord commanded us to do now is to separate from the brother that walks in outward immorality. But the wicked, the wolves, come in and divide the body over doctrine. They do it every time. Over some difference of opinion, usually. We talked about that a while back, factionism. It's a self-willed opinion that someone uses to separate the body and to usually draw sheep unto themselves, you know. But the Lord said that was wolves coming in to divide the flock. Let's see. They are each trying to win others to their side of things. And there are some who have been in a number of denominations and form other denominations out of this mixture, usually due to disagreements about the prior denominations. Yep, that's true. Once again, they divide over doctrines and not sin. These are represented by the secondary colors. Yeah. In other words, the mixtures. Right? Breakfast in these classrooms consists of spiritual junk food. There it is. Donuts are circular. It kind of reminds me of going in circles, because I remember being in a denomination, and that's what we did, going around in circles, patting ourselves on the back, because we did this, this, and this. So we patted ourselves on the back. We were number one, you know, in God's eyes. We were the only one out there that was doing that, you know. So it was just, you know, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. That's all it was. Another thing about donuts is they're sweet to the flesh, and they're not necessarily good for you, right? And there's a lot of things out there that are sweet to the flesh, you know. Patting yourself on the back, thinking you're better than the rest. Criticizing everybody else around you so you can feel better, you know. than the rest. So Matt goes on to say, he said, donuts are circular and they have holes in them, much like the doctrines and the arguments of these denominations. Oh boy, are they ever. That's a good one, Matt. That's a good one. Full of holes. Their arguments and doctrines are just full of holes, aren't they? Sodas are pleasing to the flesh, but quickly go flat and become tasteless once they are opened up. That's a good point. You open it up and take a look at it very long, and it goes flat, right? Not much to it. And the carbonation wears off. Plus, if you shake them up, they unleash themselves all over you. Good point. Good point. You shake them up, boy, they'll just bubble all over you, won't they? Unleash themselves all over you. They would rather avoid arguments over Scripture in order to keep the peace. Of course, that's the wrong way to be in unity, but I mean, we need to hold to understanding the truth that we have, not give it up. There is an ecumenism, of course, that's by the Holy Spirit, that we're not supposed to judge our brother when he's different than we are, and that's obviously true. But those out there that just give up their doctrine in order to be one, that's apostasy. It's all right to have an opinion, and it's all right to have it formed by the Scriptures that you know, but you may not know all the Scriptures. And so you have to sometimes wait and give God time to speak to you out of the sum of thy words, which the Bible says is truth. Right? The most interesting part of this dream involves the class with the white construction paper. These are a remnant of true believers who are separate from the other sects, but also willing to be one with them, right? You know, because they went out, they listened, they shared, they didn't judge, and they didn't argue, right? So, you know, the people that were walking in white, they're at peace with their brethren. It's the wicked that are always making war against their brethren, judging them over different little doctrinal things. You see, that's the wicked. Watch out for them. That's what we were talking about a while back, the factions in the church. Heresies or factions in the church. Their teacher is the Lord Jesus. Amen. Who was broken and gave of himself and taught us to do the same. Amen. Their construction paper did not touch the other colors, which kept them pure and spotless. In other words, you don't want to be polluted with the doctrines and ideas of denominationalism. You can pretty well see the fruit of it. And you don't want to be polluted. You know, we don't want to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, let me explain that. Fellowship means having in common, sharing with one another. You don't want to receive things that are unclean, right? Now, you can still be sociable and you can still be kind and you don't have to judge them and you don't have to argue with them. But in many cases, you don't want to receive their color. You want the balance of keeping the white. You don't want to get off balanced in any way, right? So, you don't judge them and you don't separate your heart from them. If there's any separation, let it be on their part, right? And Matt goes on, he says, after they had broken and given themselves to the others, they would return to their teacher and renew themselves in order to pour themselves out again to those around them. Yeah, you know, when they went back, their paper became whole again, right? They gave of themselves, they gave of their righteousness and their purity and their truth, and when they went back to the Lord to get renewed, right? Those who received of the torn white construction paper would forsake their old ways, symbolized by the colored construction paper, and follow the Lord's. Their food consisted of fruit, meaning spiritual works that evidence faith. That's a good saying. Spiritual works that evidence faith. You know, fruit is works, isn't it? It's works of faith. It's called the fruit of the Spirit because it's the Spirit working through you, right? And it's evidenced by your faith. People who have the works of Christ, they don't get that any other way than by walking by faith. Because God doesn't give the works by your works. It's by His works, right? And meat, meaning deeper revelations, understanding, and something else, obeying. You know, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. You know, the baby's sucking on the milk. He ain't out doing much, is he? He's just sitting there sucking on the milk. You know, some people just like to be perpetual students. Just sucking on the milk. But Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. And of course, the more you do, the more you'll get, right? The Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. So walking in the light, not just talking about the light, but walking in the light cleanses us. And the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the righteous. Path of the righteous. You can't stand still and walk down a path, right? But you walk down the path and God puts light in front of you, doesn't He? And as you walk in that, guess what? The light keeps moving ahead of you, doesn't it? Yeah. That's meat. There, that's meat. That's what we want. We want to grow up. You can't give a baby meat, but when you give meat, people, it's because they're growing up, right? And the water, meaning the Word of God. Amen. The color white has all of the other colors in it. Wow, that's true. That's what we were talking about. Just as light can be broken down into its various colors with a prism or via a rainbow. The bits of truth that each denomination has are a part of the whole truth. The white construction paper. The whole truth. The white construction paper. Also, the reason construction paper was used is because we are being built up into a holy habitation for our Lord. The denominations are building their kingdoms, and the sons of God are building His kingdom. Amen to that. Through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. While the class with the white construction paper grew and became popular, there was eventually a falling away as many returned to their old ways and forsook the narrow path leading to righteousness. And you know, this has really been going on for centuries, because when God, people cry out for truth, and God answers, and He gives it to them. But many times people plateau. They reach a place where they don't want to obey anymore of what they're hearing. And God in His mercy will just either let them have some kind of offense and leave, or something. And He does that to get them out of there so that they don't pollute the rest of the people. A little leaven doesn't leaven the whole lump. And so that they're not even more condemned by more light that they're not walking in. Okay. So, and then Matt gives a bunch of verses here. Let me read these to you. Galatians 5, 19 and 20. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, and then he has underlined, enmities, strife, jealousies. Amen. That's kind of what the nature of denominationalism, isn't it? Competition, right? And then he goes on, wrath. And then he underlines factions, divisions, parties. Yes, that's denominationalism. That's what keeps a person from being, you know, and that factions, divisions, and parties. One, you know, it said of the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon that she was one. She was one. And I would say that that means that she was not only one with the rest of all the people in that particular white party, you know, but she would be one with anyone. You know, she would not, you know, reject the younger brethren, you know, the ignorant brethren. You know, in many things we all fail. And if we want grace and mercy from God, we have to give grace and mercy. And in many things we all fall short in some areas, and other people may not. In the areas that we're not, guess what? It doesn't give us a right to judge the brother, because then God judges us. He's saying, okay, but you're falling short over here. You see? You're not obeying this. So be careful. You know, be careful that you're not, you know, judging and causing factions and parties, heresies, you know. Because with what measure you meet, it'll be measured unto you again. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, and as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you were not yet able to bear it. Nay, not even now are you able, for you are yet carnal. In other words, the carnal are not able to partake of the meat because they don't walk in the Spirit. Carnal means fleshly, you know. That's what the word carna is, flesh, right? Carnal means fleshly. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you jealousy and strife, are you not carnal? And do you not walk after the manner of men? It's so true, folks. The division in the church is caused by foolish people that have never learned to walk in the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus prayed, Father, that they may be one as we are one. One of his last prayers, as a matter of fact. In Titus 2:11-14, For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. Amen. That's a mouthful, that verse there. Those verses there, they're just a mouthful. And that's his plan. That's his purpose for us. You know, he wants a holy people that will not justify themselves, but will submit to the word of God that he's putting in them. Renewed mind of Christ. And Mark 14:22. And as they were eating, he took bread, and when he had blessed, he brake it and gave it to them and said, Take ye, this is my body. Yes, the Lord break his body. Like I'm sure that Matt is speaking about the paper that was broken and passed around, right? His life, his nature, right? And his word, too, right? Because he was the word made flesh. And 1 Peter 2:5, You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Spiritual sacrifices. We do sacrifices every day, don't we? When we know what the Word of God says, we are willing to sacrifice our life in order to fulfill it, walk in it. Hebrews 3:12-14. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we are become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. Yes, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, we're partakers of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Kelly and Matt. That was really good. Really good word. We're going to put that on the site, too, so you can all partake of that. It's a wonderful revelation. Praise be to God.